Now you can see from the title it says, Thanks for Nothing. As I was praying about where God was leading me this week and thinking, and we celebrated Thanksgiving. How many had a good time on Thanksgiving? How many had a good meal? You know, how many had a home-cooked meal? How many wish they went out to eat? Go ahead, Judy, you can put your hand up. My wife, Lord, you know, Lord has blessed me with a wonderful woman. But I got to tell you, my wife's got bronchitis. I took her to the doctor Monday. She was hacking and coughing. I took her and they give her that Z-Pak thing. And my wife said to me more than once, next year we're going out to Bob Evans to eat dinner. We're taking the whole family and we're going to Bob Evans. I said, no, we're not. I can go to Bob Evans anytime I want to go. I said, if we go to Bob Evans, we're not celebrating Thanksgiving. Because see, Thanksgiving to me, it's a time when we can spend with our family, you know, have good home-cooked food, and then get to eat turkey and stuffing for the next 4 or 5 days. I love that. You know, I made myself a nice sandwich, you know, toasted some wheat bread and put some turkey on it and some Colby Jack cheese, and I enjoyed that turkey, okay? Now, see, my wife doesn't really like turkey, okay? So then this week, she's not feeling well. And being my wife is my wife, and I know her so well, I would tell her, don't worry about this, just rest. No. The floor's got to be scrubbed, everything's got to be vacuumed. And I'm saying, like, look, we got the grandkids coming over. You know what it's going to look like after we have the meal? Don't worry about it. But no, it's got to be done. She's, and then she's getting mad at me, I think. But but I want you to understand something. Because, see, my oldest daughter said to Mom, I really thank you for doing this because I know you weren't feeling well. And I look forward to this. My title, Thanks for Nothing, is because that's the world we live in today. Okay? The world we live in is thankless. All right? Now, I thought about this, and I said, why is it like this? What is one of the first things you teach your kids to say when they start to talk? Thank you. Why? Is it just something to teach them? Because we don't want them to say no? You know, and then as the kids grow up, how many has ever said, what do you say? Huh? Any of you guys ever had to say that? What do you say? Huh? And what do we want them to say? And I think about that, and I think, you know, practically everybody I know has done that with their kids. Christian and non-Christians alike, they teach their kids to say, thank you. So how did we get into such a thankless society? And I want you to understand something. This is the way God wants it. Uh-huh. Really? Thank you. Because, see, in his word, he says, in the last days, it will be a thankless society. And, see, God's wrapping life up for us real quick. I don't know when he's coming. But he says in the last days, what? People are going to hate each other. People are going to be lovers of what? Self. What's a thankless society all about? It's all about me. And we see that today throughout everything that happens around us. And unfortunately, we see it in the church. Okay? I look back over the past few months. We've had hurricanes. What happened? What happened during the hurricanes? People prayed. People helped one another. People did, you know, why does that happen when we have this thing of thanklessness? Because, see, at one point in time, what happens is somebody finally realizes that, oh, wait a minute, maybe there is a God. You know? And so the world is trying to shut out God. The world is trying, and so we've got into this thanks for nothing society. If you want to really see how that works, go stand at Walmart sometime. I'm serious. Go stand at Walmart. Pick a day when it's not too cold because you might not enjoy it. And just stand there for an hour and open the door for everybody that comes through. Take and count how many times you get thank you. Because you know what? I've watched Austin ever since he was little open the door for people. And when he was little, it really, but I think he's learned now. But when it was little, they would just walk through. And he'd say, they didn't say thank you. You know, we become a society of people that takes things for granted because it's all about me. And so God says in the end times, that's what's going to happen. God says it's all going to be about self. It's all going to be about that. So that's just a little side note, is it is scriptural that God has said it's going to happen. And this is how life's going to be. So what do we as a church, how do we combat the thanks for nothing attitude? Okay? Because even in the church, what do we often get? I thank God for that he did this, or I thank God. Did you thank God for nothing? Do you thank God when absolutely nothing good in your life is going right? Do you thank God when your brand new vehicle broke down on the road, or your wife's brand new vehicle got scratched up by her husband? Somebody wasn't thanking God on that one, I could tell you. The bad thing was, I scratched her car. I went off the road in the same exact place where she got hit broadside 2 months before. A truck ran me off the road. Same exact place. I told her, I said, there's something about these cars. Attract people, you know? Let's look at Psalm 75:1. See, that's all free. That's not even in my message yet. God abuses the proud but exalts the righteous. For the choir director, set to, oh, whatever his name is, a song of Asaph, a song. Okay. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. Men declare your wondrous works. What do you see important there? Huh? Well, God, yeah, but what else? Okay, what else? We. Not the little pigs. We. God expects us to give thanks as a corporate body. Okay? And so this is what I want to talk about this morning, is the church, especially, is how we get into these things of where we fail to give thanks, and we don't even realize it. Now, please, I want you to be totally honest here. Okay? I don't know if you're being honest, but God knows if you're being honest. Okay, so I'll put it to that. I just want a show of hands, because I want to make a point. How many here always pray before they eat? Why didn't every hand go up? When God, Jesus, took the bread, he broke it, and he what? He gave thanks. Now wait, if it was good enough for Jesus with a piece of bread, see, those are the little ways that Satan creeps into the church. I'm not saying it's not it's bad not to pray before you eat. But see, when we pray before we eat, what are we doing? We're thanking God for the simple things of life. You know, God says he supplies our needs. He doesn't promise all our wants. He doesn't promise all our desires. He says, I will supply your needs. And so when you sit down and you eat, and you just sit down and eat and you get up, what are you thinking about? I'm hungry. I want to eat. But see, if you sit down and you stop and you say, Lord, yeah, I thank you tonight just for what you provided this meal. You know, we get into the thing of, well, I had to go out and work in order to buy the food. And if you buy groceries today, you understand you got to work a lot. You know, groceries got really expensive. My wife said we could have probably went out to eat cheaper than having our Thanksgiving meal. Okay? And probably could have. But, you know, when you look at it, how many times do we just stop and say, thank you, God? Thank you because you provided. Oh, wait. Thank you, God, because you allow farmers to grow these good vegetables that I'm eating. Or thank you, God, because you allow cattlemen to raise cattle that I can have my hamburger. Okay? I for one, am not going to eat a soy burger. Okay? There's something about a soy burger just doesn't make sense to me. Okay? If I'm going to have a burger, I want it to be a beef. If Joe's going to have a burger, he wants it to be a venison. Okay? Some people, if they want a burger, they want it a turkey. But I don't hear a whole lot of people saying, I want mine made out of soy. Yeah? Yo, you want yours made out of soy. Okay, Jane. We'll pray for you. Elders, come on. Right now. No, I mean, think about that. Do we stop and think about the so many things that God provides each one of us every day of our life that we take for granted? And a simple thing like stopping and saying, God, I thank you for my meal. And see, what happens is we just get to the habit of saying, God knows my heart. I don't need to thank him. He knows that I'm thankful. But see, that's what Satan is doing in this thanks for nothing society. There is nothing that you can do for people where they're thankful. And some people are like that. You know, no matter what you do. And so think about that. Pull that into the church. There's some people in the church, and no matter what you do, they're not thankful. You know? Are you thankful? Our praise team, I love it. Now, I guarantee you that every time I play, there's mistakes made. Okay? Now, I know maybe Jeannie and Marcia and Rick don't ever make a mistake, but I do. Okay? And if it had to be perfect, I wouldn't be able to do that. Now, there are some churches that if you went in there and you made a mistake in that praise team, you wouldn't be on the praise team anymore. Did God make us perfect? Did he make us that we'll never, ever make a mistake? No. And so, you know what? I thank God when I get to play the bass and I hear that bad note, that nobody comes up and says, boy, you better quit playing. You know? See, we as Christians have got into the habit of accepting what the world says about thanks. And so it's become more of a routine than really saying, God, I thank you today for nothing. You know, everything went wrong this week. Thanks for nothing, God. Yeah, I was expecting this and I didn't get it, God. And I'm really... We ever do that as Christians? See, we get caught up in that. That's Satan's realm. Satan does not want us thanking God. And so Satan has helped create a society here in which people don't thank anything. There is nothing that they're thankful for. You know, you look around you. Anybody this year had an accident in which you could have been killed? I know one, for sure, my wife. Her and the grandkids were broadsided and every airbag in the car went off. Okay? And the first words out of her mouth was, "Thank you, God, for keeping us safe." Wait a minute. Every airbag in the car went off. The airbags kept her safe. How many times have you had near-death experiences and stuff, and you thought about it as, "God, I just thank you for giving me another day of life." Yeah. Now, me personally, and I'm sure a lot of people are like this, if God takes me today, I'm not going to worry about it because I'm going to be praising God in heaven. And I won't hurt. I won't have any problems. I won't have any pain. I won't have to take Tylenol or anything else. You know, my heart will probably work really well. I don't think I ever even have to worry about blood pressure. And I'm going to eat like a king. And I'll never gain an ounce. I'll be like Austin. Yeah? Austin, if you saw what that, those of you that have boys know what it's like, but if you saw what that boy ate, he can eat 10,000 calories and not gain an ounce. You know? It's like God made this body that says, "Give me food, burn it off." The only way he's gained weight is by exercising. He's put on 40 pounds of muscle in the last 2 years. His waist size is still exactly the same. You know, how many of us could say we gained 40 pounds in the last 2 years and we're the same waist? No, when you get over, hey, when you get over 50, that's what goes first. You know? You think about that. But we get so caught up in everything that we forget to thank God for the little things too. And especially is when absolutely, have you ever said to God, "Hey God, I thank you that yesterday absolutely nothing really went wrong that disturbed me." Did you get up in the morning? Anybody ever do that? You get up in the morning and say, "Hey God, I thank you for yesterday because really nothing happened that bothered me." You know? I always say I get up in the morning, first thing I do is I say, "Good morning, Lord." If he doesn't answer me face to face, then I'm going to do what I need to do for that day. But if he answers me face to face, sorry, folks, if it's on Sunday morning, Dave and Rick are in trouble because they're going to have to do their last minute thing. And Joe, just to let you know, Joe said he's always ready at the drop of the hat. So if God decides next time I'm ready to preach it, he's done with me. Call Joe. Think about that. Have you thanked God for nothing? Have you thanked God? You know, we look at life and we look at the things around us and we thank God for the big things. But you know what? If you started looking at it, there are so many more little things than big things in our lives. And we need to have that attitude of thankfulness. And we need to share with others. When we see other Christians, you know, down in the dumps, say, "Hey, thank God that you're where you are. Do you know how much is going wrong in my life?" What's God say? "I am ever faithful. I am ever there. And I am always in control." And so if it's going wrong, God still knows. And he's going to take what? All things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. If you're serving God, all things work to good. And so we have to get into this attitude of, "God, I thank you for just being God." What's that mean? I thank you for just being God. Well, it's not all about me. It's not all about my desires. If you went and bought a car, and I'm going to share this, and I don't want anybody to take it wrong, but God blessed us this year with cars. And then he didn't bless us with cars. Okay? Now think about that. So, we were thinking, all right, you know, our Mercury Mariner had 120,000 miles or whatever, and, you know, I put on about 18,000 miles a year. You'd wonder how I do that because I don't go anywhere. You know, and church is only 12 miles, so it's not really like that. But, you know, somehow I do manage, you know, to put on that many miles in a year. Judy doesn't put many miles on, and Austin puts as many miles on as me because he's going to school and back and forth and work and home and stuff like that. So we were looking at life and saying, what are we going to do? And Austin had the Mini, and I had the Mariner, and Judy had her Honda. And we were looking, we'd put some money into the Mini, and the Mariner was getting high on miles. And we were just searching for God's will. What do we do here? My wife and I don't like just to spend money. And those of you that are close enough to me know that I was also thinking about getting a Challenger, my dream car. Okay? I had a Dodge Coronet 500 convertible in 1968 that was phenomenal. If I still had it today, it would be worth $250,000. You know, I paid a couple thousand for it. But I love that car, and I like the Challengers. The Challenger is pretty much the same as the... And my dream car was a red Challenger with black racing stripes, you know, and it just looks mean, okay? And we talked about it. Judy always told me, she says, well, it doesn't make sense to get a nice car like that because you don't have a garage. Guess what I did last year? I built a garage. And my kids always said, Dad, Mom will never let you get a car like that. Well, this spring, my wife said, you've worked all your life really hard. If you want to get a Challenger, we have a garage, get it. Yeah! And then God interfered. God interfered, okay? This is one of those thanks for nothing moments. You know, God interfered. And so we were having a few issues, and we decided that we were going to get rid of Mariner. I was going to drive the Mini, because just drive it locally, and we'd keep and give Austin the Honda, because it only had 14,000 miles on it. And then we were going to get a new all-wheel drive, and that would be our regular car, but for back and forth, I would drive the Mini, because it's more economical, 35 miles to a gallon. And I loved driving it. It was almost as good as a Challenger. Not quite. It was just a little smaller. It didn't have that. Blum, 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 blum. You know what? You know what? You don't talk about guys. You know. And so we spent a lot of time. We were praying about it and talking about it. We started looking at cars and that. And we had this game plan. Well, then within a month, we had three more things go wrong with the Mini, and one of them was major. And Austin said, Pap, I don't know. And I said, look, let's trade the Mini in. So we were going to trade the Mini, and then I was going to keep the Mariner then as my all-wheel drive and get something for Austin. You know, and that was the way we were going to go. God didn't like that plan either, okay? Because, see, Austin had asked me, I had told Austin's roommate that I'd sell my Mariner for about half of a book value. Because he's in college. You know, he doesn't have the money. God's blessed me, and so I said, I'll sell the Mariner. So, when we changed our mind and said, we're getting rid of the Mini, and I said, oh, I'm going to keep the Mariner. I come home. And we had went and bought a car that we were going to give Austin the Honda. Okay, so we had went and bought a car. And I had gone up, and I come home, and Judy said, the couple that was going to get our car, he called, and I told him that we were probably not going to sell it now. And she said, he said, oh. Their car had blown up, the engine. They didn't have a car. They didn't have the money. You know. And she said, He said, oh, we really thought this was God's answer to prayer. Because they were going to get this vehicle for a lot less, and it was a good vehicle. And you know, both of us looked at each other and we said, you know, God has blessed us so much. Let's go ahead and give him the car, you know, give him the car for what the price we said we were going to give it to him, and we'll buy a second new car. Guys, you know what that means? I have two Mazdas. They go zoom, zoom, not blum, 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 blum. You know what I'm saying? 2 weeks after that, Judy gets broadsided. Her three-year-old car with 14,000 miles on it is totaled. I bought three brand new cars within a month. Okay? It all goes back to that couple that said, we really thought this was God's answer to prayer. And I said, thank you, God, for reminding me that it's not about me. Okay? Would I still like to have a Challenger? I took Austin's car up to Baglier on Friday. And I pulled in. There's a silver Challenger with black stripes. And, oh, hood scoots, buddy. I mean, that thing was sharp. Woo! And I drove by and I said, oh, look at that Challenger. But you know what? This is what I'm saying is, see, all my life I wanted to have this nice car. I have three nice cars. It's not the one I want. But I am so thankful for what God has allowed to happen. And there is another couple that is... And they tell Austin comes home and he says, oh, they really love that car. They really love that. See, if I was living in the thanks for nothing, it'd be one of two things. I'd be upset with God that I didn't get my Challenger. Or I'd have chosen not to follow what I believe was God's will. Because what would have been? All about me. Did I want my Challenger? Yes. Would I still like to have a Challenger? Yes. By the way, my wall fell over again, in case anybody doesn't know. And I think that's God reminding me, if you put a Challenger in there, I'm going to take it out. I get it. You know, there are dumber things, aren't there? I think that's God's reminder. Is I'm gonna take. You don't need a Challenger. God probably knows that I'd either get a speeding ticket or wreck it. You know. The whole point is, do we give thanks when God does something in our life that's not for me? It's not for me. See, thanks for nothing talks about it's not about me. And so the scripture says it's a corporate thing. So guess what? Do we give thanks during the week when Janine has something good in her life that she wants to say, hey, God did something here? Do we give thanks when Kay says, I don't have cancer? Or do we give thanks when she's here, but then we forget about it when we go off, you know? Or do we give thanks like, God, I thank you that I'm not like them. See, it's all in the attitude. Is your thanks all focused on me? Is your thanks to God focused on God? And saying, God, no matter what happens in my life, no matter what takes place, no matter how it goes, no matter what goes wrong or what goes right, I'm going to remember that you're God and that you're faithful and that you care and that you are doing for me what is best for me. And so when we start thinking it's all about me, it is. Because God says, I'll never do anything for you that's not best for you. And God wants it to be all about me. Because he says, I will take care of you. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to be concerned. And so God says, be in that attitude that you're thanking. How many of you, it's another poll. How many of you came to church today? All of you, right? How many of you, I'll tell you, if I wouldn't have done this sermon, I'd have been right with you, so don't worry about it. How many of you came through the entrance door, said, thank you, God, the door's open? Other than Dave, because Dave was here first, so he didn't unlock them. But how many of you said, thank you, God, the doors of my church are open? Huh? Is that God taking care of us? He has given us a place. How many of you said, thank you, God, it's not so cold in here this morning as it was a few weeks ago? Huh? Matt turned up the heat. Turned off the air. I could use a little more air, Matt. Huh? How many came in and sat down and said, thank you, God, that it's warm here today and the power's on? Huh? See, this is what I'm talking about is we get caught in that attitude of we forget. God says, if you love me, I am in control of everything that happens to you. He's provided us a place to worship. He's provided us music to worship with. He's provided us with people to step up and speak. He's provided us with everything we need. And how many times do we stop and say, you know, God, we're so blessed. You know? We are blessed. You know, do we have a church of 600 people? No. Do we have 500 acres and a crystal cathedral? No. But does God take care of us? Yes. And so, what I want you to understand this morning is, thanks for nothing is an attitude of, there is nothing that God hasn't provided for us. There is absolutely nothing that God won't give us that we need. There is absolutely nothing that God will put in our life that he won't give us the grace to withstand it. There is absolutely nothing that we can do on our own without Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so thanks for nothing? Yeah. I'm thanking God that there is nothing that he's not faithful and in control of. And there is nothing that can create anything in my life that God doesn't use. There is nothing that I can't be thankful for this morning. Because even the little things. And so, think about that. Because, you know, we know God is able. But God, even if you don't. You know, sometimes we say, why me, Lord? Maybe we should be saying, why not me? Why am I so blessed, God? Why hasn't Satan attacked me? Because, see, it's God's protection. But see, when the attack comes, and it will, you know, the testimony there, I think we can all say, there are days, there are times that we all have to say and do something for Christ. We just don't feel like it. It's not been a good week. It's not been a good day. Hey, I don't feel good. But guess what? Even then, we say, God, through you alone, I can do what you call me to do. I imagine when he first did that song, what he felt in his heart. When he said, God, I'm sincere Even if you don't, I'll still hold on to you alone. That's what thanking God for nothing is all about. Not thanking God just for the good things, but thanking Him for the bad and thanking Him when nothing's going on. Because God's in control. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning. You know, I don't know what everybody's going through this morning. But I know that there are probably people here that are facing things that they're saying, God, I just don't know how. God, I just don't know the answer. God, I just don't know what to do. And God, I wish this wasn't going on in my life. But this morning you tell us, if we keep our faith upon you. And as the songwriter said, sometimes my faith is very little. I thank you that you don't work just based on my faith alone. But you work because you are faithful. God, I pray that you will just right now challenge each one of us to look at the so many things that you have done throughout our lifetime that maybe we just took for granted, like the world does for most things. And God, that we start today and we say, God, I just thank you for being God. You saved me, you keep me, and you said you always do what's best for me. And God, no matter what, when I get to the point that I know I can't do it alone, God, I know you're there. So God, I pray that you'll be with each one of us today. Challenge us to look at the little things of life that you provide and say, God, thank you. Because without you, I am nothing. With you, I am everything. Go with us this morning. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen.